Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the broadest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. How about them Broncos?
Hey, Doug, that was we got to talk about the Broncos in a biblically correct pick.
We have some biblically correct football picks for this weekend.
But then huge, huge news regarding personhood in Alabama, in Colorado, federally. There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, and that's not a game.
No, that's not. Yeah. But regarding the Broncos' defeat.
Unfortunate and surprising defeat, I might add.
So, and you know, it's been 8 years now since the Denver Broncos, have won a playoff game. 8 years.
I think your math is a little off.
Except for Tebow.
There was a victory in 2012. Right. Or was it 2012? It might have been 2011. The playoffs last season.
Yeah, so
there was a victory.
So in 8 years, the Broncos have only won a single playoff game.
Single playoff game.
And that was with Tim Tebow in overtime against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right, yeah.
So but it's the Tebow curse.
Well, the John Fox, yeah. John Elway, and whoever the owner is, whose name escapes me, they all made the decision out with the new and in with the old, and they brought in Peyton Manning, fine domer, football player.
Yeah.
But he's played in a dome for 13 years.
Oh.
He's played in air conditioning.
Yeah.
Anyway,
3 turnovers. I
only
in
watched
a playoff game.
That was unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Now I only have one comment about the coaching, because I think that game was lost by poor coaching. And the big difference between John Fox and Tim Tebow is that Tim Tebow knows when it's appropriate to take a knee.
Okay.
And it's not it's not with 30 seconds left.
So there's a half a minute left.
And Peyton Manning's
in
the pocket.
It's a playoff game.
Come on. Anyway,
you're not on the 2-yard line.
No.
They take a knee.
All they need is a field goal.
How many timeouts did they have
left?
They
had two timeouts.
Two timeouts.
And they had Peyton Manning in the pocket. How do you not at least try to get into field goal range?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm not a coach.
No.
But John Fox should be fired and banished from football for all times.
Wow, that's serious.
And I think anyway, that's just, you know,
it's the Tebow curse.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, update on the Tebow curse. That's a term that I coined.
Yes.
A coin that I termed.
Yes.
That if you disrespect Tim Tebow, there will be
bad
a price to pay.
Happen.
There will be a price to pay. For
now,
example,
tongue in cheek.
Of course. For example, Gronkowski. I forget his first name.
Well, and he's one of the reasons why Tebow lost in that second playoff game last year.
Gronkowski dominated the field. There's no doubt about
right.
it. But Gronkowski made a very vulgar, disrespectful statement about Tim Tebow last year.
You know, it was so vulgar, we shouldn't repeat it.
Well, no.
It was gross.
We can't repeat it on the air.
No
way. We'd get bleeped. The whole show would be bleeped out.
Yeah, rightly so.
So he made a really nasty comment. And
With
the New England Patriots. And then anyway, now he's going in for surgery because he has a broken arm.
Uh-oh.
John Elway and John Fox are going home.
We're starting to sound like Pat Robertson saying some hurricane is the judgment of God.
Well, I just want to point out that had the Broncos not sent Tim Tebow over to purgatory in East Rutherford, New Jersey, that it probably would have been 55 degrees and sunny this past Sunday. He said tongue-in-cheek.
So you're biblically
Correct football picks. Quickly, we have the Ravens versus the Patriots. So we've already gone over Ray Lewis and the fact that he obstructed justice, did not produce evidence that was demanded in a capital trial, capital crime.
And it's said now that he's turned his life around
regarding
God, but that would include admitting the guilt in that.
Well, that was a question. I don't know that he has a responsibility to come out and publicly acknowledge that he was involved,
well,
or that he hid the clothing.
Of course.
Well, he already pled guilty to obstructing justice in a capital. He pled guilty to that. There's no doubt about that.
With the lowercase OJ.
Since he is a
obstructing.
Since he is a public figure, perhaps he does have some responsibility if he truly is repentant. To come out and I don't know, it's a tough area.
No, if you're involved in a murder and you did not, you know, you obstructed the investigation, a murder investigation, you've got bloody clothes. No, it's unacceptable that he doesn't come clean with everything to help that. Even now, because it will happen on Judgment Day anyway.
He's going to have to.
I don't know
clean.
What he thinks he's getting away with. You don't get away with anything.
Well, he's gotten away with 13 years of All-Star Pro Bowl football.
Yeah.
For 13 years.
Yeah.
So until I see a sign of genuine repentance, just quoting scripture and having biblically oriented tattoos on your body, that generally doesn't convince me. So, but on the Patriots side of the ball, we have Bill Belichick, a known cheater, a sign stealer, a lip reader.
Wait a minute. That's not cheating.
We have he reads lips and steals signs. That's cheating in my book.
Okay.
But still, the biblically correct pick would be the Patriots because the Ravens have the murder.
Oh, wow. So that's
now Niners, Falcons. Right. It's very tough. San Francisco's the epicenter of perversion in America, so we're going to go with the Falcons.
Okay.
Biblically correct football picks for this weekend.
Okay,
hopefully
Patriots
that's...
and Falcons.
Now we did give a plug to the Broncos last week, and it was the kiss of death. So.
And this is compared to Rush Limbaugh's former environmentally correct football picks.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll see how the biblically correct picks go.
Now let's get off the foolish, funny news. Let's go to serious
Alabama.
Big,
the
big
state
news.
Supreme Court issued a ruling that was so significant in the personhood battle. And we have an attorney with Liberty Counsel on the line. What an honor to have back on the show, Matt Staver. Matt, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Matt, you're on with Doug McBurney and Bob Enyart. We've only let the audience know that there was a significant ruling in Alabama regarding the unborn child, but we haven't told them what it is. Can you introduce it to the audience?
Absolutely. It's a case regarding two criminal indictments that took place in Alabama, and it's under the endangerment statute. And what we have here is one individual who was taking cocaine or some kind of addictive drug while she was pregnant and gave birth to a child. And when she gave birth to the child, she tested positive for cocaine, and the child also tested positive for cocaine.
Great tragedy, of course. And there are many states right now that if a woman is pregnant and she is known to be taking drugs, then there is there's a trigger mechanism where automatically there's an investigation into the well-being of the child. So so Alabama has a significant example of that kind of legislation.
Yeah, and the Heather case was where a lady was taking methamphetamines and the child was killed as a result of that. And so the question comes up as to whether or not this child in the womb is considered a person. And the court ultimately concluded that under the state statute and the precedents, the child is considered a person, and therefore there can be criminal penalties for that. But the other significant aspect of this case is the concurring decision also goes through a long overview of where children are considered persons in every area of law except for abortion. If you look at, for example, property rights, children are considered to have personhood.
Because of inheritance.
That's right. If you look at criminal statutes, homicide, for example, you can have a double homicide if you kill the woman in many states, most states, and the unborn child.
Right.
If you consider torts, where someone has an injury, and in fact, you do some kind of injury to a woman who's carrying a child, you're liable for the injury to the woman as well as to the unborn child. If you look literally every area of the law, criminal, civil, estates and trust, child is considered a person and has legal rights.
Yeah,
the only area is in the area of abortion.
Matt, I'm looking right now at an article on the Constitution at AmericanRightToLife.org's website, and they point out that regarding execution, Regarding execution, there was a plea of pregnancy going way back into our legal history, where if a woman is pregnant and she receives a, because of a death penalty conviction, she's to be executed, then there is a delay in the in the execution because the woman is pregnant and you don't punish the child for the crime of the father. In fact, that in and of itself seems to be in our Constitution because the U.S. Constitution prohibits the corruption of blood, which that phrase is not familiar to most of us, but you do not punish a child because of the crime of a father or grandfather.
That's right. And also, this decision points out that if you have someone's end-of-life directive and they want to withdraw food and water, and this person gets into that situation where that end-of-life directive would take place, if they are pregnant, you do not withdraw, you do not honor the end-of-life directive until that child is born, because you don't want to take the life of that unborn child. Because the mother is in a situation of irreversible state. So in every area, and what this decision ultimately does is say, yes, in Alabama, the child is considered the unborn child is considered a person under the law of Alabama. That's consistent with the laws of other states. And in every other area of law, except for abortion, children are considered persons in the womb and have legal protections under every other area of law that's in existence.
And Matt, Doug McBurney here. It's a blessing to have you on the air. Thank you. And I would like to quote Matt Staver. Matt Staver said, the U.S. Supreme Court's abortion cases are an aberration to law and stand on an island by themselves, and that island will one day disappear. Mr. Staver, can you tell us how you think in the big picture that this particular ruling might redound to our favor in the future as we work toward personhood?
I think that Roe versus Wade is like an island in the middle of a lake, and all of these decisions, like the one in Alabama, which is very significant, and these other cases and other laws that are taking place around the country, recognizing the humanity of the unborn child in the womb, are kind of like the waves that are lapping up around the Roe versus Wade island, and that island is getting smaller and smaller. And it makes it look more odd that it's sitting out there all by itself. Mm. And eventually, logic and law and history is going to ultimately overrun Roe versus Wade and make it a thing of history.
Mm. Matt, I would like to ask you about fetal homicide legislation here in Colorado. Planned Parenthood has just come out in favor of it, although it's a bad law. And I'm wondering if any of the three of us, Doug, me, or you, recall Planned Parenthood ever advocating in favor of fetal homicide legislation. But first this, just real quickly. In 1891, the U.S. Supreme Court, in a case called Union Pacific Railway versus Botsford, they observed that a woman convicted of a capital crime would be examined for pregnancy, quote, this is from the ruling, in order to guard against the taking of the life of an unborn child for the crime of the mother.
Wow.
That's the U.S. Supreme Court, 1891, mm-hmm. Union Pacific Railway. Way back, earlier than that, back in 1778, a Massachusetts case, Commonwealth versus Bathsheba Spooner. This is, I believe, the very first capital case in the United States. A woman and three men were executed. And back then, they didn't know about early stages of development, like the Carnegie stages, but they refer to quickening, right, when you could sense that the baby was in the womb, and that execution would be stayed then if you knew that the woman, that a living baby was inside the woman.
I have never known Planned Parenthood to take any position in favor of restricting abortion rights. But, you know, if you go back into the law, and that's what our brief did, we filed, Liberty Counsel filed an amicus brief with the Alabama Supreme Court, and we traced the law's understanding of an unborn child as a person all the way back to before the United States of America, to the Commonwealth, to the common law that developed in the United States, all the way up through the present in terms of our current law. And everywhere you see that the unborn child is recognized as a person, and And it's very clear that the only aberration throughout history that's ever happened is with Roe versus Wade in the area of abortion. And it just makes it look so nonsensical, as it obviously is, and so out of sync with the rest of law and history, and now, obviously, with our medical science.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just let you know, Matt, what's happened here in Colorado. Last year, Colorado Right to Life introduced in our legislature, House and Senate, a principled fetal homicide bill where it did not say that you can kill the baby if you're an abortionist. You could kill the baby, you know, in an abortion mill, and it's okay. All it said was, during the commission of a crime, as per our criminal statutes, if an unborn member of the species Homo sapien is injured or killed, you could bring charges commensurate with the overlying charge or the underlying charge. So that's all it said. It was a one-sentence bill. Planned Parenthood opposed it vociferously. They also opposed in the previously the bills that had all kinds of exceptions for abortion, for fetal homicide. They have just made an about-face in Colorado, and we think this might be historic. We're here in the state of Colorado. Planned Parenthood has come out in favor of a fetal homicide bill. Of course, it's compromised. It's morally repugnant. It states that the baby is not a person, but you can punish the criminal who, like a drunk driver, who kills the fetus. So we're not sure. It's too early to understand the dynamics of it, but we think that perhaps the principled battle in Colorado for personhood, now in its sixth year, perhaps that battle is bringing pressure on Planned Parenthood, and so they've decided to cave here in this small area. We don't know, but that might be.
We'll see. You know, I'm not quite sure the National Planned Parenthood will ultimately stand behind that. Who knows? They're so radically committed to a culture of death.
Right.
But it is an interesting development. You know, we're certainly, Liberty Counsel is 100% behind the personhood movement in Colorado and around the country. We represent them around the nation.
Yes.
And I think that we need to, just like William Wilberforce, continue the struggle to restore the sanctity of human life in this country and to accord legal rights to all persons, those most vulnerable, including the unborn.
Right.
And might I point out, Mr. Staver, that you have eloquently pointed out that the rationale behind Roe versus Wade is irrational, and it stands apart from decades and centuries of legal precedent and custom. Mm. And I think that that really proves the fact that it is allowed to stand proves that this is a battle that will only be won by escalating social tension to the point mm-hmm. where we force the court to make a change, because they're not willing to make a change, because, even when it's so easy to point out.
Slavery in England wasn't ended because now the majority loved black people.
No,
that's not what ended slavery, nor here in America.
It was constant pressure, social pressure, constantly keeping it before the elected officials and the grassroots individuals, the citizens in the country. You know, if you have, like I said, in these various areas, if you have a child that is in the womb and somebody dies and gives a will, you appoint a guardian to represent that unborn child. Why?
Wow.
Because that unborn child has property rights,
right,
interest in that property, even though they're not born yet.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a civil accident, you're in a car accident, and you injure the mom and the child, you're liable in most states for the injury to the mom as well as to the child. You remember the California case with the double homicide there, with the killing of the mother and the child who was in the womb. Not one murder, but two murders.
Right.
And every single area that you find, every other area of law, it's done the common sense historical approach to recognize the unborn as a person entitled to legal rights. And the only decision, the only area that's ever not done that is abortion. And it makes no sense that if someone outside ultimately takes the life of a mother and the child, then they're liable for murder for that child, but the mother can do the exact same thing, and we call that freedom of choice.
Mm, yeah.
That just is illogical. It goes across history, and logic, and it is certainly against our medical science that we know today.
Yeah, the Hippocratic Oath, which is, of course, thousands of years old, states, I will not, for one, a doctor will not have sexual relations with a patient, shall do no harm, shall not provide an abortion.
Right.
And we go back earlier to Moses, 1,000 years before the Hippocratic Oath in Exodus 21. And there's a clear description of that passage at American Right to Life's website, Exodus 21. And that if a baby is injured by a criminal during the commission of a crime, then you punish that criminal accordingly, which is almost identical to Colorado's fetal homicide bill. So, Matt, I know I'm confusing topics here, but there have been now two different fetal homicide bills introduced in Colorado, one with the support of Colorado Right to Life that is principled, the other with the support of Planned Parenthood that says the fetus is not a person. But we think that the pressure put on Planned Parenthood has moved them to take what may be a historic change in their strategy. And we're, of course, going to keep the pressure up.
Absolutely. Well, that's why I think we need to keep on pressing forward. And I think the, you know, the life of William Wilberforce, where he's dedicated his whole life to the reformation of manners and to the abolition of slavery. And during his lifetime, he was able to absolutely see the abolition of slavery in his country and in many other places around the world. Mm-hmm. I think that's the kind of attitude that we have to take. And I think we need to close this chapter on a very unfortunate period of history in America where we have taken the life of unborn children when we should be protecting the life of unborn children.
Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel. Matt, are you familiar with, you mentioned that you guys represent Personhood USA around the country. Are you familiar Yes. with the charge against them regarding their pro-life activism in Ireland? There was an article in the Washington Post a few weeks ago about that. Are you familiar with that, or is that not in your purview?
I'm not familiar with all the details. I do know, however, that there's a lot of pro-life activity taking place right now in Ireland. Mm-hmm. There is a big push in Ireland, a struggle on the issue of pro-life. So Personhood is involved in that. Mm-hmm. There's also a number of organizations that are involved as well.
Yes. Yeah. Praise God for all that effort to resist Planned Parenthood's influence there. All right, Matt Staver, thank you so very much. We want to follow this case in Alabama, so we'll do that, and perhaps we'll get back in touch with you.
Absolutely. We'd love to do it. And our website is lc.org for those that want to follow up.
lc.org, Liberty Council. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Awesome.
My pleasure.
So, Doug, this ruling in Alabama, now, a friend of this show, Judge Roy Moore,
yes,
is a former state Supreme Court Chief Justice of the state Supreme Court in Alabama.
That's right.
Now, he was there. They elect judges.
Right. And he won election in this past November
as the Chief Justice.
That's right.
But he was not on the court for this ruling.
You're right. This ruling came before Roy Moore, who you would expect this type of ruling from.
Yeah, absolutely. And so now, of course, the court is just becoming more pro-personhood.
Yes.
Not less. More. But they issued this ruling before he was on the court. And that likely is strategic and a good move.
A good move, yes, because, you know, Roy Moore has a reputation and he's a big target for the leftist maniacs, suicidal, homicidal, idiot children who are running the country and the media.
Yeah.
He's a big target.
Yeah.
So for this ruling to come out before he took his place as Chief Justice is fortuitous.
Right. So he has baggage, like you have baggage.
I have baggage. Yes.
Judge Roy Moore's baggage is that he says that
rights come from God.
Rights come from God.
Yes.
And the law of the land needs to be based on God's law. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Amen. I've got a quote from Roy Moore, by the way, regarding his upcoming ensconcement as the Chief Justice. Mm. He told WorldNet Daily in an interview that he will be responsible for acknowledging that God is the source of human rights. And if we ever needed a Chief Justice, if we ever needed an oath for Chief Justices, there it is right there.
Yeah.
But Roy Moore didn't have to take an oath. This just came right out of his heart and his soul.
Hey, Doug, I mentioned when Matt was on the show, the article on the Constitution at American Right to Life.
Yes.
This article has not yet been public, been publicized.
Oh, really?
But you can find a hidden copy of it on their website at AmericanRTL.org/constitution.
Okay. It's super secret. There's not an actual link. You have to know that
URL. You
have
to know it. You have to know it.
Slash Constitution. AmericanRTL.org.
/Constitution. And there's amazing information in here about the U.S. Constitution and the right to life of the unborn child, and about the history, like if a pregnant woman is going to be executed.
Right.
But also, where do rights come from is in the same article. And they point out that human rights do not come from the government, because then they wouldn't be rights.
That's right.
They don't come from the majority.
No.
Imagine America versus slaves, right? Well, the majority.
Yeah, the slaves would have lost in a straight up Democratic vote.
So the majority, they were denying the rights of the slaves. The slaves had rights which were being denied.
They were being denied, but the rights still existed because they are from God.
Germany violated the inalienable rights of the Jews. Mm. The rights don't come from the hospital or the doctor who delivers the baby. Where do they come from? Rights come from our Creator.
That's right.
So they're possessed at the moment we are created.
Mm-hmm.
Not when you're born.
No.
How, what's the mechanism whereby you get rights when you're born?
Only if you want to leave room to kill inconvenient children. That's the only time you draw the line there.
Yeah.
The amicus brief filed by Liberty Counsel is eloquent. It's short. It's to the point. And it is utterly condemning of a number of court rulings that have supported abortion. It really shows, obviously, that these are totally out of whack rulings, which, again, proves to me that it's not going to be the court that ends abortion. It's going to be the church.
And, Doug, thank you for that. And when we advocate legislation or oppose or whatever, we have to consider whether these things are personhood compliant.
That's right.
And here's the test.
The new standard.
Here's the test. When personhood finally is the law of the land.
Yeah.
If there is some quasi pro-life legislation that will then be repealed or nullified because of personhood, then it's a bad law.
That is so true.
Right? So if you say, well, if you wait 24 hours, then you could kill the baby, waiting period. Mm. Or informed consent, sign this piece of paper, then you could kill the baby.
Or an ultrasound. Take an ultrasound, take a picture, and then you can kill the baby.
Or if, as long as there's no heartbeat yet, then you could kill the baby.
Right.
If any of those laws would be nullified by personhood, the God-given right to life of every living human being, then it's a bad law.
And it shouldn't be supported in the first place.
Right.
That's
right. And it's a bad law if it ends with, and then you could kill the baby. So that's how we can look at this, and we could see there's something valid here. There's something to be excited about. A state Supreme Court saying the fetus is a child.
Amen. And I misspoke. Personhood is not the new standard. It's the old standard. We're going back to the old standard from days gone
standard.
By. The original standard. Talk about an originalist.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be God in Exodus.
Yeah, that's very exciting. So this Constitution article, very important, and I think people will love it. It's a short read, but there's amazing, solid legal information from American Right to Life. At /constitution.
AmericanRTL.org/constitution.
Yeah.
I'll be checking it out.
All right.
And folks out there should check it out too. And you can email the folks at the website with your thoughts and your comments.
Doug, coming up on Real Science Radio this month is our annual tradition, our list of not so old things.
Oh, and it gets bigger every year. I can't wait.
That is going to be fun.
We've already made our biblically correct football picks.
Yeah, Doug, and we're out of time.
Patriots, Falcons.
Website is kgov.com. If you appreciate this show, we only could stay on the air with your support. We have no other, we don't have a large grant keeping us on the air.
No grant.
No. So we need your help. God bless you guys.
Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYARD or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.